Welcome back to the Workspace Podcast. I am your host, Justin Moran, and today we have a great guest. His name is Dave de Blasio of de Blasio New Media Marketing. If you are a small business with an existing website that you just don't like anymore or you think should be thrown away and replaced, you need to listen to this podcast. Have a listen and let us know what you think. So, Dave, I'm not in the website business, but if I was and I had a lot of people asking me what I thought and what I should be doing about my next revision of my website, you know, my first inclination is to tell them to keep it simple, dumb it down, and get rid of a lot of clutter, and, you know, most importantly, hire a copywriter to get the pros in line with what you actually do and the message you're actually trying to get out there. Do you agree with those kind of simple tips?
Definitely keep it simple. You know, a lot of companies have added all kinds of content into their site over the years that they may or may not need.
Yeah.
And it's also important to make sure that if you have Google Analytics on your website where you can see how much traffic is coming into your existing website,
yep,
to understand which pages customers are entering into your website from so that you know to bring those pages into your new website. You know, if you can look at the landing pages that people are, you know, coming into your website,
yep,
then you'll know that those are the most important pieces of content on your site and you need to bring those pages in first. But like you said, you know, I always tell people to start small.
Right.
You know, if you've got a 20-page website, bring the first four or five pages in and do them right.
Right. So if they don't have Google Analytics today, they should install that, let it mature for 30, 60, 90 days. Once they have that info about their content and the traffic, bring that to someone like you.
Absolutely. It's always the first question I ask is, do you have Google Analytics on your website?
Yeah.
It's just going to give you so much information and it's a free service.
Cool. You know, today everyone talks about branding. We actually did a podcast last week on branding your business and yourself. And social media is probably the best way to get those messages out about your brand. And so much weight is put on, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, but no longer Google Plus, apparently. yep. And so there's so much attention on those platforms. How has that changed the role of a website?
Yeah, you know, I always like the fact that when you have your website, you know you own that content, you own that space, right?
Yeah.
When you're putting things onto social media, I always think of it as a way to drive people into the space that you own. So the foundation being your website, the social media being the pieces on top of that foundation that you need to drive traffic into your website. So give people the teasers on social media, but drive them into your site, right? That way you kind of still own that space and you're building your own business around something that you own,
right,
and you have complete control over. And that's usually my recommendation is social media is amazing. I do a lot in terms of social media advertising, driving business into websites, but just don't give the entire thing away on social media. Drive them into your site. Give a piece on there and then click in.
Got it. That's what I'm trying to do with this podcast, quite frankly.
It's a way to drive people in.
It's creating original content, which is what gets the most amount of attention, really, and then using it as a carrot to bring people to see what's going on
with
Workspace.
So I looked at your website. Can I give you one quick tip on the podcast
page? Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's a mess.
No. Your website's actually beautiful. It loads fast. It's really clean. It's nice on mobile. But I think you put all the podcasts on one page, all the links to the podcasts on one page.
Yeah.
Those should link out to their own page. Right? Because then you can optimize those pages for search.
Hmm.
You know, you can say, hey, we've got Dave de Blasio with de Blasio New Media Marketing on today, XYZ. And then you can optimize that for how to improve your website. And that's the page for that one podcast.
So each podcast would have
its own
URL, if you will.
With a little bit of content about that podcast in text format.
Okay.
And that will give Google extra pages that they can crawl and potentially index.
Yeah.
So you can optimize that page for how to improve your website.
Okay.
You know, that keyword.
Okay. Sounds like I need a template or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're there. You know, it's just taking those pieces and moving them onto their own page.
Okay.
A template would be good. Yeah. So you don't have to keep going back and figuring out what it looks like.
Right. Add these three pieces of content.
Exactly.
Cool. How has SEO changed? I mean, I was talking to a Google engineer 2 years ago, and they said everything is getting super local, hyper local almost. I think that was kind of the beginning of what we see now as Google My Business. So how has SEO changed as a result of those types of things?
Yeah, you know, it's actually an advantage for smaller companies and local businesses that this is happening. And you know, a lot of people are doing near me searches right now. They want to know what's the best place near them.
Near me searches.
So, yeah,
okay. Yeah.
So keeping the keywords like near me, best, you know, local, top rated local, all of these are the big keywords that we're focusing on right now for content. I have a roofing company who I'm working with, and we'll make sure that we have a page on their website that actually speaks about them being the best roofing company in Massachusetts. Right. And it literally the headline is the best local roofing company, not because we say so, but because our customers do. And we work their customer reviews into that page. And that page then gets optimized for best local roofing company in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And, you know, then we rank them for that. So that's, you know, really local search is huge.
Yep.
People are talking into their phone a lot. So the near me keywords are big. We've yet to do a page where the headline is best local company near me, but we are moving in that direction where we'll have copies specific to people doing near me searches.
Interesting.
And, you know, that's why I have a copywriter who works part-time in my business with me, and we just write copies specific to towns and cities, you know, for businesses so that they do get found when someone says, you know, what's the best coffee shop in Canton, Massachusetts? If I were working with a coffee shop, I might have a page on the website just talking about that, how they are the best in town.
Wow. Let's get back to the Web 2.0. If someone is really thinking about that, where do you think they should start? Like,
okay.
Step number one.
Yeah. So step one is a simple 4-5 page website.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a monster website now with a bunch of stuff. It's just not doing anything for you. It's like having a giant catalog sitting in your lobby of your office, right?
Yeah.
You know, people show up and it just sits there. No one's opening it. So instead, focus on the most important pieces, bring them into a nice, clean 4-5 page site that, one, loads fast on mobile,
yeah.
Right? Two, has clear calls to action. And then three, make sure that you have a touch menu that's easy to navigate on the phone as well.
Back up a second. Let's define calls to action for
yeah.
those that don't know. What's a call to action button?
Yeah. Calls to action is just going to be, it could be as simple as, you're ready to get started, call us today at, with the phone number. And then you also want to give them a couple options. Mm. So you want to give the phone number. You want to give a link to your contact page where they can send you a form, right? Because a lot of people don't want to pick up the phone now.
Yeah.
And then you also want to give them a click to email us for more information, right? Where they just click on that, opens their email, they can send you a message. So you want to give people 2 or 3 options in that call to action. And we want to spread those out a couple times in the page. Because on desktop, those calls to action may seem like there's a lot of them on desktop. But when you fold that desktop website into a phone size, you don't want people to have to scroll to the end of the world to find your call to action, right?
Yeah.
So putting 2 or 3 calls to action on each page where it says click to contact us today or click to text us, whatever your best method is, that's how I would recommend people go about calls to action.
All right, cool. So you've got these 4 or 5 pages set up. What's the next iteration? How do you get to the next level?
Yeah, so let's say you're a business in Massachusetts. You may take your 4 to 5 pages and you may optimize them for Massachusetts-specific keywords, right? But as we mentioned, people are doing a lot of local searches now. So on those Massachusetts pages, you may write, we work with customers throughout Massachusetts in towns such as Norwood, Canton, and, you know, throughout Greater Boston.
Yeah.
Where it says throughout Greater Boston, you may then link to a page that's just specific to Boston keywords, right?
Hmm.
So that way you've got a page of content that just speaks about your business related to Boston. That way, when someone does a search, I've got a shower glass company that I'm working with.
Yeah.
Someone does a search for, you know, best shower glass company in Boston. We're going to have a page specific to Boston for that company. And it just gives them a better opportunity to get found by the most valuable customers that they're looking to reach.
Cool. So in this, you know, Web 2.0 world, what are like the top 3 or 4 best practices that you just absolutely have to nail or you've fallen on your sword?
Yeah, no,
with
I mean,
websites today. I mean,
yeah.
They've obviously changed a lot and
right.
The platform has changed. The way people view them has changed. What are the 3-4 things that you got to nail?
Yeah, the biggest thing is you do not want your mobile customers to be playing the pinch and zoom game. You know, and that means that you've got a desktop site that doesn't work well on the phone. And with 70% of the customers coming into your website from the phone, you know, that pinch and zoom game means that they're trying to zoom in to find your contact info, zoom in to read about your business. Make sure your site is easy to read, easy to navigate on the phone. That's top priority. Second to that, but right in line, is load fast on the phone. I actually am in the process of redesigning my own website right now.
Okay.
And it looks amazing on the desktop, but I won't move it live yet because I have a video that shows it kind of in the background. It's jamming up on the phone. It's slowing down. So load time is really slow on the phone. I'd rather not put the site out there until that load time on the phone is really fast.
And it's because of that video you've got?
Yeah, I've got a background video that I just need to reduce the file size down, It's losing some quality. So I just have to find the balance between losing quality and also loading fast.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that, you know, images are optimized for search. Things like that will all help the phone site load fast.
Okay. What else?
The final one is just to make sure that you've got nice, clear headlines about what you do. You know, really clear calls to action. Make sure you include testimonials. You know, the basics on a homepage should be nice, clear headlines, include testimonials, links to your social accounts, and make sure those social links open in a new tab. Right. You don't want someone going to your website. You finally brought them into your site on a Google search that you either paid for that search click or you've done a lot of work to get them into your site already. Right.
Yeah.
Then they get there and you've got how you're on Facebook. They click to Facebook. Next thing you know, they're lost in the Facebook
loop. They're gone.
Yeah. Have those Facebook links open in a new tab.
Okay.
That way, at least when they close the Facebook tab out or the Twitter tab, your website's still open on their phone. And they remember how they got there in the first place.
Got it.
You know, so that's a really small thing that can make a big difference for companies.
Interesting.
And then make sure, last but not least by far, have Google Analytics on your website. It's a free service. It gives you so much data, both for the present information about your site and past information about your site, that you can use, and people who are working with your website and helping you improve it can use to make the right changes to your site based on data and not just based on what they think is the right thing.
Okay. What should people get rid of?
Get rid of sliders. I'm slowly moving all the companies I work with away from sliders. You know, they were a big deal on desktop. You'd have that big slider at the top of the homepage where you'd have three or four service things that would scroll across the homepage.
Yeah,
all look like hell on
the
phone.
They all look
terrible on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So get rid of sliders
phone. For everyone that's listening, it's just like an image that changes every couple seconds as you're on that website.
Top of the website. Yeah. They used to be great because there was a way to give people a bunch of information in one clean area.
Yep.
But when you move it to a phone, it's so difficult to get that message to translate properly to a small phone size that it's best just to get rid of them.
Okay. All right. Get rid of sliders. What else?
Make sure that you have your testimonials from your customers. People are going to go to Yelp anyway and check you out. So I tell people that right now customers are doing a double search. They'll search for, let's use the best roofing example, best roofing company example, right?
Yeah.
They'll search for best roofing company in Rhode Island, right? They'll find your business. They'll read about your business of what you tell them. Then they're going to close that tab. They're going to do a search for your brand plus reviews, right? So they're going to say XYZ roofing plus the word reviews. Then they're going to go read what your customers say.
Okay.
Take that step away from them for some of the customers by bringing those reviews from all your different sources that you have, Google, Yelp, Facebook, all the places where people have left you reviews, and bring them onto your homepage and then a nice clean reviews page. You know, so
is there a way to create like a widget that just automatically populates?
Yeah, there actually are a few widgets out there for companies who are on WordPress where it would auto populate things from, especially like Yelp. Personally, though, I like to take the physical content and make sure it's living on your site, because from a search perspective, you want to make sure the search engine can crawl that content in the review.
They can't necessarily crawl it if it's somebody else's.
It depends
else's
on the widget, you know. So some of these widgets, the review content will actually live on the widget server.
Yeah.
You want that to live on your website itself.
Yeah.
So I'll physically take the time to move those reviews into your own copy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So what slows websites down? I mean, there's got to be a certain number of things out there that people should just toss because it's slowing it down. I mean, I visit websites all the time, and it's always, if it doesn't load in like a millisecond, I'm like, see ya.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather, you know, it's absolutely right that the website has to load quick, or otherwise you've spent all your marketing efforts to bring someone in only to get them to immediately leave.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple of things of what slows it down, but one thing that you can know to understand if that's happening to your site is if the bounce rate's really high. You know, if you've got a 70% or higher bounce rate on your website,
tell us what that is.
That's in Google Analytics. And basically it says that 100% bounce rate means that everyone who goes to your site, they immediately leave. So they go to one page and they leave. That would be 100% bounce rate.
Got it.
So you want, if they go to two pages, it's a 50% bounce rate, right? So you want the bounce rate, the lower, the better. if you have Google Analytics on your website and you look at the bounce rate, you want that as, you know, depending on your business, about 60% or lower bounce rate would be decent, pretty good for you.
Okay.
And if it's any higher than that, it means that one, your site may be loading too slow on the phone and people aren't even taking the time to wait for it to load. They're just leaving. Mm. So how do you stop that? You make sure that image sizes are reduced, you know, 200 KB or lower. If you're working with a designer or a web developer, make sure that they have your image sizes nice and small.
Yeah.
Make sure there's things like, they call it a lazy loading, where the photos will load in as people scroll down the page versus trying to load every photo in on the entire page at once. And so as you're scrolling down, the photos will slowly load in. And that actually saves the overall load time of the website.
Okay.
That's another big one. And then you don't want people scrolling forever. So on your homepage, you know, get to the really important stuff at the top. And then, you know, if you can save other pieces that you can break out into separate website pages, you want to get that homepage loading really fast. So don't overload it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do people care what you look like? You and your team, like, here's my marketing manager, here's my sales guy, here's my
That's
VP.
That's always a tough one, right? Especially people who have smaller businesses, where it's like, do I present myself as the we, you know, or if you have a larger business, you know, do I do a team page? I take that sort of on a case by case basis.
Okay.
I do think it's important to personalize your business to a point where people want to trust you and work with you. You know, so if you do have a family owned business, or I work with a lot of businesses who are family owned in transition from one generation to the next.
Okay.
Tell that story a little bit. Don't go too wild with it, but let people know that, hey, you know, our grandfather started this business. We've continued the tradition. You know, our parents went into it. Now we're here. It doesn't tell them about you as much as it tells them that you know what you're doing.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
So you're not bragging about yourself. You really want to just give the trust. So if it builds trust, do it.
So instead of throwing a bunch of pictures up there, tell a story with them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, make sure they tell a story. You know, it's nice to have a page with, you know, here's Joe Smith in sales, and here's his phone number, and here's his contact info.
Yeah.
Who needs it, right?
Right.
So always ask that question. Why are we doing this? Be strategic about it. You know, don't do it just because you've already done it in the past.
Right.
Never do that. So a big thing that I always say is times change. You know, you need to grow with them. So,
they do. They do. And you see that out there. Like, it's a question in my mind. You know, I look at different websites and just to see who bothers to put a team page up and who doesn't. Just simply out of curiosity when I'm cruising certain sites.
Yeah. You know, another thing, your website can be a morale boost for your employees.
Oh,
I actually see this both with websites and social media.
Yep.
You know, when I go into a company and they've got no social media existence and they have a very, you know, lacking website, and then you see that transform not just their business and the new calls they're getting, but you can see it in the morale within their employees as well, right?
Cool.
Because now they have something they can be proud of. They can show their family members, their people who were in their life, I work for this business and here's their website, check it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And taking that pride and translating it into your site so that your customers feel that same kind of energy is really what you want to do.
Great point. So how can people get a hold of you, Dave?
Yeah, they can check out Twitter at De Blasio Media. I'm on Instagram at De Blasio Media. And then on my website, deblasiomarketing.com. And you can also go to Facebook, De Blasio newmediamarketing.com.
Very good. Very good. And what is the nature of your business? What do you focus on today? I'm sure it's a number of things, but...
Yeah, a big focus for us is search engine optimization.
Okay.
You know, making sure that once your initial website is in place, are people able to find it? And also really strategic pay-per-click advertising campaigns that help separate smaller businesses from large companies. So basically, they help, you know, regional businesses compete with Fortune 500 companies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you also do the development too. I mean,
we also do. Website development is the foundation of any business, but really it's the bread and butter and foundation of my business as well, the development of a website.
Very good. Well, I really appreciate you coming in today and spending some time with us. I think there's probably three or four more podcasts we could do on different topics we brought up.
Yeah, but you have an amazing space here as well.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
It's really a nice setup.
Cool. No, I appreciate that. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right. Once again, that was Dave De Blasio of De Blasio New Media Marketing. If you have any questions for myself or any of our guests, you can reach us at info@workspacema.com. If you ever have any interest in podcasting itself, we'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much, and we'll see you on the next one.